Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, family. It's Khadija Stewart, the on-call business coach, and welcome to Khadija's Cafe. It's September 15th, 2022, family. How are you doing? How was your summer? Well, we are coming to an end of the summer, and the fall is about to approach. Harvest season is upon us. If you are gardening out there, I know there's some good fruits and vegetables growing. Harvest season is more than just growing fruits and vegetables, family. You know, we're harvesting our children's brains and minds because they go back to school. Colleges are starting. Take advantage of this season, please. Take advantage of the harvest season, right? Get some of the juice that you earned and worked on all summer. I want you to get some of that and plant it and get it ready, right? Because the winter's coming, and although it gets cold and a lot of things die in the winter, that doesn't mean our minds have to. Well, as always, get your soda, your tea, your juice, your sparkling water. I'm drinking hibiscus ginger beer tonight, family, and let's get started. Yes, yes. Our monthly quote and affirmation of thought this month, it's something that's near and dear to me. And its history is written in books, but found amongst the people. Make sure our children are keeping a good line of communication with our elders. That's where the real education begins. Family, there was a time when, you know, history, we transferred history not from books, but from one mouth to someone else's ears. And I really think we need to get back to that. I really think that our children today need to understand the importance of honestly just sitting down next to grandma, grandpa, Sister Sue, Miss Mary, uncle, aunt, and just start asking questions about the days that they lived in. Because you see, family, sometimes history books can have a twist or a turn to it, and it leaves some things out, right? That energy, some of those little stories that we get, right, the secrets that no one tells. So if our elders are not passing this on to our children, they're getting what I call commercialized history. They're not getting the good stuff. And the good stuff is being able to sit down with an elder and just talk. I know I did it. I make sure, and even now, if I'm amongst the elders, I sit and I ask questions about things that happened back then. Because, see, the things that our children are missing, which is, I think, the reason why we're having some of the problems with the violence amongst our babies, is that they don't get the history. They don't get the plain and simple struggle, right? The emotions and the feelings that our elders had when they had these struggles. So I really want us to go ahead and put that history back into our babies, not from the books, but from the elders. So family, if you have children out there, if you have nieces and nephews, people on the block that are kids, and you know of an elder, or if you are in fact an elder, please just bring them over for a second. Let them sit down beside you and just give them a little something. Even if they reject it, I promise you they will remember it in the future. They will. Because remember, that is really where the education lies. It lies in those stories. The griot, remember? That's what we used to call it. But let's go back to that. And I think we need to make sure that our elders and our young people, connecting the generations. Family, that's what I did this summer with the show. Remember, I had an older and a younger person on that were in business. And I had the two of them talk about generational things. It was kind of fun. We enjoyed it. We talked about sayings. We talked about slang. We talked about some things that they like and don't like. So let's get back to doing that. Let's not forget that it's important for our generations to connect. It's very important. Well, family, I'm so excited. I've just gotten off the road. I literally left the plane about 3 hours ago. And because I am building connections across state lines in the United States of America for many reasons. But I'm visiting the U.S. with a different lens. I just came back from Biloxi and Clinton, Mississippi and New Orleans. I posted about it on social media. I did not understand what Southern hospitality was, family. To my folks down in Mississippi, I have to give you a shout out and say thank you. In New Orleans, thank you so much for all the love that you gave me. They welcomed and hosted me with so much love and hospitality. I really felt like I was a family member just visiting family. That's the way that trip felt. So I'm learning the South because I'm a Northern girl. I am. I'm from the North. I'm from Pennsylvania. And I thought that I had done something when I moved to Maryland. I really thought I had moved South. I have not. You have not felt or known the South until you get down there into that Southern belt. And you really get to experience the people. I understand now why New Orleans is so loved. I do. I see why after Katrina, people went back to their homes and rebuilt because it's worth it. Energy, the people, oh, my gosh. It's just, it's something that you have to experience. So, family, if you have not gone down South, I advise you to. And it's a different South. The hospitality is still the same. But some of the problems that we endured in the past, some of them, I wouldn't say that they're gone. They just don't look as harsh as they used to look. So I really encourage you to take that trip. So I've begun my national work to connect and build across state lines. I'm partnering with businesses and schools and economic cooperatives in Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Mississippi. These are the five states that I chose to start with. I'm not going to stop there, family. I'm not. I can't, right? Because if I don't connect the lines, then the children that I am teaching across state lines, they don't get to meet each other. So I need to make sure that our children understand that they don't just live in the neighborhoods in which they live. They live in an entire country that's available for them to just jump in and see what it's all about. And to have a real impact, we have to go outside of the comfort zone of what we're used to. We have to be able to cross lines, cross comfort zones, do something different. Meet people that are different from you. I got a little Southern twang. I did, and I'm proud of it. When you're in the South, you just can't help it. It happens, right? That Southern draw just comes out of you because you're feeling so good about the people that you're around and the experiences that you're having. We need to leave our normal comforts of local businesses and open doors of connections in places that are unfamiliar. So, family, tonight I'm doing it on the radio. These partners are both, one is in New Jersey, the other is in North Carolina, but I want to bring you guys my business partners tonight. I also talk about I have this big network of business partners. Well, tonight, two of my business partners in my network will be joining us to discuss some very important issues within our community. Family, I must remind you that when I speak of community, I'm referencing a diverse group of races, religions, and economic groups. I'm not just talking about one monolithic group, right? I'm talking about us as a human race. We are all one people that must begin to work together to solve some of these problems that affect the underserved and the under-resourced. We can only do that, like I said once again, by stepping outside of our comfort zone. And my goal throughout everything that I'm doing is to unite all of my communities based on the similarities that we have. We all have something in common, and we need to start tapping into those commonalities. Let's stop talking about the differences. We know how different we are, and it's okay to be different. I'm not saying that we all have to look the same, talk the same, walk the same, right? But we need to be able to connect with each other. And one way to do that is to find out what do we have in common. Ask people, do you like this? Do you like that? Do you not like this? Do you not like that? What is it that you like about things? Start opening up the doors. My children sometimes think I'm crazy because I may go into a store and if I see something or I see a person, I connect with them. If it's an experience that I've had or something similar that I've seen, I'm going to just start holding a conversation, and I've always been that way. I've been that way since I was a little girl. So it's not something new for me. I just want us to learn how to spread some of this love. There's a lot of love out there for us to give each other, and I really need us to start benefiting from some of that love. Let's stop leaving the love off to the side and thinking that we have to be different. We don't have to be. I want to mention another partner of mine. He's a civil rights activist, and he's beginning a weekly TV show I'm going to talk about the South tonight, family. Yes, I am. In the Mississippi and Western Alabama area on the CW, it's going to be airing on Sundays at 12:30. Yahya Shabazz is uniting people of diverse backgrounds on this show. The name of the show is Government for, Of, and By the People. And he's going to talk about some things about us self-governing, right? Us taking responsibility for our own actions and not waiting for politicians to do this for us. You know, the election season is up. You're hearing the politicians talk. We just diverted a strike on the railways, right? There's some things going on politically. But unless we start thinking and acting on governing ourselves, we'll never get past some of the problems that we're dealing with. So we govern ourselves, and then we reach out and show love amongst each other. Can we not go, right? We have no choice but up that way. So tune in on Sunday. If you're in Mississippi or if you're in Western Alabama, tune into the CW, Central Standard Time, and you'll get to hear his talk. I think you'll really enjoy it. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what race you are. I think you're going to find something good in that. So tonight, family, we're going to discuss growing your bank and your business with one of my partners. Oh, my gosh, Lucretia Thomas. Now, both of my partners tonight have the same last name, and I did not do that on purpose, family. They have no connection. They're not related. They don't even know each other. It's just coincidental that they actually, you know, they have that connection. And Lucretia, we're going to discuss ending the lifestyle of living paycheck to paycheck. We'll also discuss a topic near and dear to me with my other partner, and that's the special needs community. So let's get started. I think my sister Lucretia is on the line, and I think she's ready to jump in. So my first guest, my sister and business partner, is joining me. Lucretia Thomas, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening. Peace and blessings.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Guys, Lucretia is the finance Muslima. She's a tell it like it is finance coach. She's going to discuss how to grow your bank. Yes, you are, girl. You know you are. Don't even. You are. Because you have real talk for folks. You really do. So just give us a quick little tidbit about how you became a finance coach. And tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you for having me. Being a finance coach, it definitely wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. I got into the finance industry by default, but just on a journey of getting my life together and trying to find no cap income. I had to learn who I was. I had to learn mindset. In a sense, I had to know how to play the money game. I didn't know. I knew how to make money, but I didn't know how to play the money game and maximize.
Right. So why did you choose to help their finances?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Why did you choose to help people with their
finances? I chose to help people with finances because once I had to get exposed of myself first through my own personal journey, moving to North Carolina from Philadelphia, it was new for me. It was a lot of new things. I had to get very, very, very uncomfortable. I had to learn a lot of discipline. I had to figure out who I was. I couldn't just wake up every day and go with the flow. I had to really figure out who I was and where I was going. When I learned, started off with life insurance, 2017, when I learned how to build wealth with life insurance, I was like, wow, this is it. This is what our community is missing. You know, we hear of life insurance and, oh, just get it in case something happens, you know, and get death benefit. Like, it's so much deeper than that. I learned how to build wealth with life insurance in 2017. And I was like, you know what, that whole process of me getting in front of a financial person, being asked these questions I've never been asked, being asked, who am I, where was I going, what was your goals? Like, yo, I didn't have answers to nothing because nobody never asked me these things.
Right.
I never really knew. I think I was just pretty much on survival mode. I think a lot of us come up like that. We're just figuring out how to make it work, and we normalize that and don't even know it.
That paycheck to paycheck, all right?
Exactly. Yeah, we pretty much make it work because we're like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm going to make it work. But we don't have to just be okay with that, though. But it's definitely not a comfortable conversation. It's not a comfortable space. I feel like you really have to want it because you're going to have to figure out some things about yourself first and foremost, and close a lot of doors that's open, and you know, let go of all that, a lot of baggage and pain and a lot of things of just what you knew how to do. And
right.
I decided, like, I'm going to go partner with some companies, Microsoft Store, the libraries, co-working spaces, business owners in the community, just being everywhere and just teaching how to build wealth with life insurance. That's how I started.
Wow. See, I didn't know that part. We've been working and building some things, but I never got to ask you that question.
Yeah, that's how I started.
What are one of the changes that you feel you made that was effective, if you don't mind me asking?
From then to now?
Yes. Like, what is a life you made?
A life, I would say, most importantly, you know, we always want a conversation of money, 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 money. Most importantly for me, it was like, okay, I needed it and I appreciated it once I went through it, because otherwise how would I have done it on my own? And it was a transformation and really on getting on that journey of becoming, you know, becoming this woman, becoming better. And I had to do it for my son. If I didn't have my son, and I'm like, I could just go with the flow and like, hey, you know, work these jobs, run a part-time business, and yeah, I'm making money, I'm good, I probably would have just went with the flow. But I can say the way I was raised, I seen a lot of things that I didn't want to do with my child. Like,
right.
I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew a lot of things I didn't want to do. So I was like, it really was about him at first until he got older and I started learning things, and then I started making it be about me more now that he's 18. Huh. And I was like, yo, I gotta build, like, this thing is about legacy. Like, it's deeper than me. Once
that
I was
word,
able to get out of debt, get out of the holes, and get out of all of the financial struggle, and get out of my own way of who I was supposed to be coming today.
Let me know, what do you think are one of the common mistakes that folks make that causes them to get in their way? There's one thing you think is like a common mistake. You know, that thing, that paycheck to paycheck lifestyle, is a cycle, right? But it's a cycle because we make mistakes.
Not getting in front of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Fearful of looking at them bank statements.
What do you mean
fearful
by getting in front of
fearful of looking at them bank statements. Fearful of going back and tracking of like, hey, what am I really doing? You want to find where your bad money habits are? Get online and scroll through your bank account. Find out where you spend the most money at. And you don't even have to wait 30 days. It's the middle of September. Go back in September 1st and figure out where the places you're doing the most swiping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, say that again. One more family to hear that.
So I would say it's the middle of September. So if a person hasn't set any self-development or financial goals for September, and you're like, hey, I'm all over the place, can't figure it out. Okay, cool. The smallest but biggest thing you can do right now, go online to your bank account, go to September the 1st and scroll down and see where you had the most transactions at. Is it eating out? Is it online shopping?
Mm-hmm.
Are you overspending on products for your business from your personal account? It's a lot of things that you can tell about yourself from the way you're spending. It's lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you're creating, and we really don't know. So I would say the fear of getting in front of that, because when I was living check to check, I never want to check my bank account. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next, right? I know it ain't little to much. I don't even want to check it.
Right.
It's like the fear of the unknown. That's one thing you can do on your own. Ain't nobody got to see it. I know this is a topic that nobody really wants to dive deep on, but you sit with yourself and do that. Are you willing to open up and sit with yourself? Like, let me go see where I've been spending my money. It will tell you a lot about what you're doing, what you're focused on. If you do a 30-day period in your bank account, if it's showing every weekend you crazy on entertainment and you like, I don't have any money, you know where you need to cut back. Do you have to be in a tank to go back and say, why do I have to be in a tank on weekends? What am I lacking with self that I can't enjoy peace? I have to be in a tank.
You know, I think I had to learn that myself. And one of my things that I had to learn is when I was in my 20s, I loved clothes. And I found...
Me too.
Looked at my, I said, ooh, I am shopping every weekend. I have so many clothes now that I very seldom even buy clothes, right? How do you do that? Like, it's an almost an addiction for some of us, right?
Yes.
So
it's discipline.
How do you say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore?
For me, I'm super disciplined. I think that if you are a person that lack discipline in that area, you have to first figure out what's feeding that. I knew for me, once I got out of my comfortable environment, I stopped doing a lot of things, right? And then I noticed I was doing a lot of things because that's just how I grew up. That's what everybody around me was doing. That's all I knew how to do. So when I came to North Carolina, I got introduced to different people. Friends became family. Everybody was living so different than what I was used to. Like, life was bigger. I got to see the bigger picture, and that wasn't it. And I realized that I was just doing what I was around. I just built discipline. And one other thing I also feel like, too, when, you know, because with money you have to stay ahead of the game. If you don't have a plan, you want to – everything is just going to go. It's going to go right back out the door. So that's why, you know, we shouldn't take for granted creating budgets, monthly budgets. Like, I have, like, you know, like, oh, I got the money. No, but you really can't afford it right now. And I tell myself, like, no, you really can't afford this right now. You have so much bigger things that you're working on. Do you really need it or do you want it?
Need versus want. Isn't that the game? And I think that's why you and I started our program that we're doing, Grow Your Bank and Your Business, because we both, that word is used. And, you know, my family, you guys know I always talk to you about plans. So a plan is not just for business, but it's also for your finance, right? So how do you start a business if finances aren't straight? Am I right, Patricia? Can you do that?
Exactly.
Can you do that? Can you start a business?
No, absolutely not. I could not be super creative and be this woman now that I am today with when I was struggling. I couldn't. Because when you're struggling and you're trying to figure out how to rob Peter to pay Paul, you can't think about what's going to happen in 6 months or 3 months or 3 years or 5 years. Like, people are like, yo, I'm trying to figure out tomorrow.
Okay.
When you're struggling, and I get it because I've been there, right? That's why I love to do what I do, because I get it. And we think it's like about a dollar amount, but it's not. It's mindset.
Right.
It's mindset, right? Because when you get yourself out of that hole, you have to be big on creating strategy. You have to be big on having a blueprint, and then you build that discipline. And it's just about rinse and repeat. So when I was struggling personally, there's no way I could be the best me.
Right.
Because it's mentally frustrating. It's depressing. Especially when you have children to take care of, you looking at every day, and I'm like, damn, I ain't got no money. You know what I mean? Like, how am I going to figure this out? And somebody asking you what's your goals 3 years from now, you're like, what? I'm worrying about 3 days from now. Right?
Okay. 3 minutes, still.
Right,
like,
right.
Still going to get paid on time. To get those overdraft
fees,
you know. And I don't know about you, but what I found is that I really didn't need that much extra income. So now when I struggle financially, I'm struggling to figure out what part of my business that I can grow, right? That's where I'm looking for money.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What business endeavor do I want to step into? So as opposed to going to the movies and going to the store and shopping, eating out all the time, you know, those Friday pizzas and Friday dinners. As opposed to going to the supermarket and buying fresh food to cook yourself and making enough to eat, you know. So
what I will say is, really quickly, what I do want to say, I do realize from coaching for so many years and credit repair company for so many years, I do realize that a lot of people don't want to budget or have the money conversation because they feel like when you say budgeting, it's taken away from them. Mm-hmm. We're telling them what they can't do. Like, no, we're not saying don't live life, right? You want to have, you want to order out, you know, you want to have those family nights, all that. Like, yes, that's fine, but can we make a conscious decision right out on a whiteboard? If you have a family, like, can we get pizza every other weekend? On the, the rotating weekend, can we go to the grocery store and get things and cook together as a family on a Friday night and watch a movie? Like, how it's just about changing the mindset and being more creative and working with what we have, right? It's not saying don't online shop when you're budgeting, but in your budget, you want to have the kids need XYZ, not the kids want XYZ. That's not in our budget this month, and I feel like that's okay.
I joke all the time because my kids think it's a treat to go to the dollar store when they get a couple of dollars. Literally, that's their treat. They're not going and buying video games. They're not going. Remember the Toys R Us store? I feel like I'm dating myself now because they have four right? But they'll
KB
buy a
toy store.
Yes, and be happy with it because the first thing my kids have learned is they put their money up. They all worked this summer. I borrowed money from them. I was able to go to my and say, can I have a few dollars? Can I? And they say, can I hold a few? Can I hold a few? Right? And it's so honest to be able to give mommy money. So, yeah. So why
love
do you
it.
Think growth in your business will help people? What do you think we can give them that they don't get from all of these other coaching programs?
You know what I feel that we're definitely going to give to them? We're going to give to them comfort. We're going to give to them transparency. We're going to give to them the knowledge and the game that's not being talked about. We're going to give to them what you should be doing in the current moment. We're going to break down step by step, no matter depending on where you currently are in your business, pick up the pieces. If you don't need 1 through 4, that's fine. Start at 5 and go to 10, whatever the case may be, right? But it's so much from a business perspective, especially the finance piece and the structuring that's not being taught. Everybody wants to come into this game, I call it, of entrepreneurship or being a business owner, right? And they're looking for fast wins. They want it quick because this lifestyle is showing that it's quick, right?
Right.
But it's really not. You can have the skill set, right? You have the skill set. You don't need no more research on your skill set. You got it. Okay, you ready. But it's so much more on the back end that you have to perfect to 10X your business. You can't 10X your business when you really don't know what you should be doing. And I feel like a lot of people should really step up, especially at this time. You're talking about harvesting season and really invest in themselves. It's all about finding who the coach that you're going to connect with, who you can learn from, and then just find one of them and just learn from that one.
Okay.
And follow through with them, you know. And some people feel like 6 months is a long time for nowhere to return, but I ask my clients this question, like, you'll work 6 months on a job living check to check, but you won't live 6 months in your business and not make no money.
Okay, right.
I've done 6 months in the business and no money, but if I'm saying in my mind, I need to be able to help take care of my father who doesn't have attention. I'm building legacy, getting into real estate for my only one 18-year-old child I have. How do I think putting 6 months in with no results is going to change my life? It's not enough time.
No.
Especially if you're dealing with a strategy that doesn't work. You don't have enough resources. You got to be open to what you don't know. I just feel that.
No, you're right, Lucretia. You are so right. Guys, if you are interested, we are for a limited time. We are doing a free evaluation of your finances and your business. You got to be serious about it. I'm right, Lucretia. We're not helping folks that just come into play. We're really serious about it. Yes, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable if you want to work with us, because we're going to help you. So, Lucretia, where do we find you? You the Instagram queen. We talk about that. You the Instagram, the Facebook. So where do I find you on Instagram?
Yes, yes. So you can find me on Instagram, and I am Finance Muslima, I-A-M, Finance, and then Muslima. Facebook is I am Finance Muslima as well. And also, we're looking forward to opening pre-orders October the 1st for the revamp of a mindset and money planner.
I think I posted that this week. It's not expensive at all. She's practically giving the bank away. Honestly, she really is. It's very inexpensive.
No more of those real heavy, you know, budget books from Target and Walmart with all these sections that we never utilize and we just buy them, right? This planner, I launched it 2 years ago when the pandemic hit and it sold out 3-4 times. I decided to revamp it. It's the second year in. It's going to be really awesome, even more of, you know, I'm more uncomfortable now. So it's more I wanted to add to and some tweaks I wanted to do. But I'm super excited about it because the women are raving about it. It's super practical. It's right to the point. And they said it's helping them get their whole lives together. So I'm really super excited to get the feedback on this revamp.
You and me both. Lucretia, thank you for calling. I know you're crazy, crazy busy. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing with family tonight about, let's get rid of that paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. So where else can they reach you? Anywhere else before we go?
I'm on YouTube. I am Finance Muslima on YouTube as well. If you go to my Facebook page, we have a Billionaire Bestie show every Wednesday night. And we did Manifest Mondays every week for like a year straight on Instagram, and we're moving that to YouTube as well. So I'm leveraging all these social media spaces. We're getting away from the Facebook and IG a little bit because we know how the YouTube is going to be more longevity-wise to get this content out. My son is 18. I want him to be 30 and be able to show his children some things of what I was doing to build legacy for them. So that's my goal with that.
Good. Thank you so much. And then you guys definitely hit Instagram. You can find the link for the survey and in case you were consulting, you can find the link there. Lucretia says, thanks for calling in.
No problem. Thank you. Have a great night.
Have a great evening. You too. Family, you see, we don't have to check the paycheck. We really don't. And Lucretia just explained some things to you about getting uncomfortable. Well, I want to bring on my next guest in a minute, but I want to give a little bit of talk about him before he comes on. This partner, Kareem Thomas, is near and dear to me. This brother has been mentoring young men for I don't know how many years, right? Next Man Up LLC CEO, Kareem Thomas. I have spent the past year building and being a member of the Franklin Grace Business Group in Somerset, New Jersey. And tonight, Kareem Thomas is going to come on, and he's going to talk about some of the successes that he's had with the young men in New Jersey. Kareem wasn't making money doing this. And he and I started talking, and I said, Kareem, you know, this is a moneymaker right here. You can help your community and get paid, family. Yes, you can. He gets rid of and he helps young men get rid of societal ills. Some of the young men that have been just canceled out, right, because they have backgrounds, they have situations or environments that they're in, and people don't think that they can do the things that Kareem is going to come on here and explain to you that they do. He is helping them build successful personal, professional, and educational lifestyles. When I tell you he's changed the lifestyles, and then I worked with him this summer, and I saw some of the things that he was, some of these boys, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to give it all away. I want to see. I want Kareem to come on and tell you himself. So, Kareem, are you there? I'm waiting for Kareem to get patched in. I can't wait for Kareem to come on and explain to you some of the things he's been able to do with these young men.
Hello?
So whenever, good evening, Kareem. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, Khadijah. How you doing?
Good. Welcome. Welcome. I'm sitting here bragging about you because, I mean, you
I'm
did
listening.
Some things. But you've been doing it all along. Give us a little bit about what Next Man Up is and who you are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Kareem Thomas, CEO of Next Man Up. We started the company in 2015 as far as to put it on the books, you know, but the, you know, for insurance purposes to, you know, give it to LLC. We have been doing the work for years, you know. I got with some of the, you know, young men or like some of the men that was in my community, whether it be law enforcement officers or people from the barbershop. Myself, I was in IT. I brought my father-in-law in there. You know, he's a truck driver. You know, so I just tried to show because we saw the need where these young men, you know, I'm not sure what happened, but they did not respect the elders. Right?
Right.
So they're OGs or whatever, like whatever they call it. But it was just like mayhem from what I saw. And when I'm going to talk to people from my generation, I'm like, well, you know, what's going on? Because I'm in the community, but I'm not really engaging with the younger ones that I don't have in my mentor program. So what I started to find out by engaging them, talking to them, that they did want to be somebody, that it was almost like and no one ever spoke to me like how you talk to me. This is what they would tell me. And I'm like, all I did was say hi, you know, just introduce myself and started to talk and just wanted to know what their aspirations were, you know. So from that, that bred into, you know, I want to come see you, you know, because I deal in my word is my bond. If I'm gonna give you my word, then you know that's what that is. But I'm expecting the same thing from you. And when I tell these young men, I'm saying this is your life. Whatever you're gonna commit to, just make sure that you commit to it. And when we agree to that, I'm gonna meet you that you know half. Well, I'm gonna meet you that way right there. So now, you know, I'm almost you know picking them up because they're down. And some of these young men are hopeless. You can't be hopeless at 22, 15.
Wow.
These young men, and some of these young men are just hopeless. And that can't be the way that our young men are being, you know, brought up. That's a problem, you know. So, but you're
Why
doing the
you
work, you know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off. You get energized when we talk about Next Man Up. You're not often. It's near and dear to me because I grew up in the inner city of Philadelphia. So I saw that myself, and I lived in Baltimore, so you know I know. But why did you choose boys? Why did you say all youth? Why did you choose boys in particular?
Well, we started off with the young men because I wanted to make sure that we gave those kids that people feared, right? These are the people that's committing the murders, as they say. These are the people that, you know, the elders are scared to talk to. Whatever it is, you know. You know, they kill our young men or our young men are being killed at 15 or 16 or 17 because they're looked at as grown men. So if you don't see no value in your life, if you don't have no value for your life or for anyone's life, then that's the problem right there. So I just try to show them that they're valued, you know, that they're valued, but it wasn't just talk. I had to make sure if I'm saying, you know, and most of these young men that come to the program, the first thing they say is I want to play sports. No, I'm sorry. I need money, and they don't say I want to work. They say I need money. I want to play basketball, and I want to box. I'm like, that's all you want to do. So let me take the money factor out of that because I know I can reach you with money, right? So let's go cut some grass. Let's go get dirty. You know, let me see how much you really want.
Keep talking.
You know,
don't stop it.
Yeah.
What else? Come on, tell.
So I guess we've worked with these young men. They like getting paid. And some of these young men never had a check before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're living your life, at you know, in an illegal manner, and now you're getting positive clean money, for some of our young men that's a wake up call. Like that's something like, yo, you really mean what you say, and that's all it's about. You know, it's just that, you know, when some of these young men climb, you know, I met one young man from probation and I, you know, I always tell a story and I'm like, when I met him, his first words to me was, listen, nobody never did nothing for me. Nobody never gave me anything. You know, I'm like, I'm brought up in the gang. I'm brought up in this lifestyle. So don't promise me nothing that you can't keep.
Wow.
This is how he's talking to me. This is the first time I meet this guy because he's been disappointed through his life.
Right.
And all I told him, all I told this young man, I said, listen, brother, all I need you to do is just whatever we agree to, we're going to agree to it, and we're going to go from there. This was 3 months ago. I had this young man. Since I had this young man, I got him a job. He has a certification at OSHA 10.
Okay.
And now he's currently enrolled in our solar training class.
Okay.
But this was the guy that the system was going to violate because they just couldn't reach him.
Mm-hmm.
How are we reaching these young men in 3 months where they had years or whatever, however many time that they had with these young men and they couldn't do anything? It's because they need somebody that looks like them, that can identify with them, that's just going to show them that love. And the respect.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit for me. So there's a man I know sometimes, you know, in our community, men don't like to use that word when they're dealing with each other, right? Was that an obstacle?
Yes.
Talk about that for me a little bit.
That
love word.
I just,
it's okay.
For you mean in regards to dealing with the young men or just period with
men showing each other love, genuine love.
Yeah.
Getting opportunity, some of the things you were doing, right?
Yes. Well, I think we've been conditioned and we just, in some of our backgrounds or some of our lifestyles, it's just not conducive to anything positive. If all you know is negativity, that's all you see, you know, if it's almost like when I speak to some of these young men or I'm out in the community, they see me. So they'll see me out there doing street cleanups. They'll see me out there, you know, feeding the community. Like, we would go cook meals and take them out to our senior community as well as the homeless population. This is stuff that we've been doing for years when it wasn't cool, when it wasn't where everybody was trying to, you know, get into that. I'm like, we have to show that we care. Like, I didn't grow up where we just didn't care for one another. You know, we might not have everything, but we cared. I respected Miss Jackson that was across the street. I'm not going to, you know, say cuss words or play my music loud or have my pants, whatever that was that these kids are doing now. We didn't do those type of things. We quieted down and helped Miss Jackson, you know.
Right.
Now these young men just, they walk by these seniors and they're cussing and they're talking loud. It's like, yo, ho, 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 ho. And I'm not saying everyone. I'm just talking about the gentleman that I, you know, that I deal with, right? And then I see in my travels. So my thing was, I just wanted to make that. That's not the norm. That's not us. All of you guys look the same way. You got your pants rolled down. You got the same sneakers on. You got the same. So you guys are all following each other. You don't even have no creativity. So that means you can't think for you, or you're not thinking for yourself. You know. So when you start to talk on that level to finding out what they want to do, and you start to put that plan out and it starts to work, they call me now. Mr. Thomas, are you going to come pick us up? Or are you going to be at the resource center? Are we going to work this weekend? Why? Because they want money.
Right.
And they don't want
to
get it the same way how they've been getting it. So now that goes into the business aspect. We talk about streams of income. You know, all everyone that comes here that has been getting paid, they have bank accounts. I made sure with their parents, that's what they needed to do. So they all have bank accounts. We need to see how this works, to start understanding money so we could have a sister that was just, you know, in yourself, Khadija. We could start having these business conversations with these young men because they want to listen, you know.
They do.
You just got to be able to reach them the right way.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit something that, you know, is a little more intimate for me, and it's our young men who have found themselves in the juvenile justice system, not because they're bad boys, but because they couldn't express themselves, right? And some of them may be struggling with some disabilities or some learning concerns. How much do you see of that? You know, do they open up to you about their issues, or are they hiding it? They're not doing good in school, so they're not going to go to school, right? Or get into a fight because emotionally they have this traumatic experience they can't get past. Talk to me a little bit about those experiences.
Yes. I mean, we see it from everywhere where the young men just don't like the food at school, so they don't eat, right? To where I know that they're not focused, right? Because if you have to self-medicate, if you got to smoke weed to go to school, mm-hmm. to function, right,
mm-hmm.
then there's something wrong there, right? So there's all of these outside factors that's there that we see. It's not just I can come sit down and talk to you and mentor you. No, you have some problems that's there, right? Not only that you have problems, but your family has problems. So if I'm taking you out of that home and I'm talking to you and we're building a relationship, when I take you back, everything is reset.
Right.
So I try to get these young men out longer, right? So we cut grass. Last week we cut grass. We cut grass for maybe 5 hours. But then after we came back to the center, they didn't want to go home. They just stayed here. They played chess. They ate. They was here like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just didn't want to go home. But as far as with the behavioral and their mindset, it's almost as if there's no structure there. And it doesn't seem like the schools know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm seeing. I'm not saying every school, but I'm saying the schools because all of these, and I'm going to lead into the IEP thing, but all of these kids that they're saying, I have a lot of kids that have IEPs.
Right,
and
right.
These are some of the brightest kids I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why they got an IEP. Maybe they had an attitude issue, or maybe that they're just, you know, young black men, whatever you want to call it. But if we're teaching and we're educating, you can't say there's 30 kids in the class and I don't have enough time to teach all of these kids. That means that the system is broken for our kids.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's what that means. Because you're medicating them early on, you know what I mean? And now they come up and they don't know how to cope. So now they're self-medicating. They're not playing sports. They don't want to do anything. They just want to hang out and, you know. So that's a whole thing right there that we're dealing with now is with the IEPs, just to be able to offer the service to say, no, we have some. You just need to play outside. We need to take you to the park. Excuse me. We need to take you fishing. We need to bond with you to build that rapport. So now you know when I'm asking you, listen, we got to get these grades up. You know, we got the tutoring, you know, where we're going to do that, right? So the tutoring is going to help with that because a lot of these kids suffer from public speaking. They don't know how to talk in front of people. They're scared.
Definitely.
You know.
Right.
So
right.
We got to make ourselves uncomfortable to speak and ask. This
mm-hmm.
is what's going on. You know, but we do a pretty good job with identifying that and reaching them to gauge that kind of information.
And Kareem and I are partnering, family, to do that. So we have an IEP assessment advocacy and homeschool/tutoring program that we've built together. I haven't talked about it much, but I've been working with, like I said, I've been with Kareem now I think we've been together for about a year with Franklin Grace Resource Center. And Kareem's program is so awesome that whenever I bring a homeschool piece to the New Jersey area, next man up, we will have a mentor representative in our sessions with us. Because, see, Kareem and I talk about it all the time, and I tell him, I don't need the police to come in and help me with our boys. I need mentors to be there for me so that I can concentrate on teaching. And if I have any behavioral issues, I'm talking to one of the next man up representatives. I'm just saying, look, you know, Kareem, can you help me out with Johnny real quick? And how you handle that, Kareem? You know what I mean? Johnny acting out, how would you handle that?
You know, we just have to jump, and sometimes, you know, you don't, because depending upon the actual circumstances, if Johnny is acting out for weeks, or we see in the pattern of him acting out, then we have to address that accordingly, right? We have to pull him to the side, but we might have to sit with him. We might have to take Johnny out of that class and work with him one-on-one. But we're not going to give up on Johnny. And we're going to find the root cause of what's going on, right? Because Johnny could just be having a bad day at home. He could have family issues. He could have girlfriend issues. He could have ways just scared to go to school, right? So he's going to take that misguided anger out on somebody else because he's frustrated. But we engage them and we talk to them, and this is a safe zone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We come here to the center and we come to our mentorship, you know, program. That's what we talk about, to where the other young men will check each other and say, no, we don't do that here. you know.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm.
And I have to give Kareem a shout-out because when I was at the center, I spent 6 weeks completely back and forth between Jersey and Maryland. And I would come into the center, Kareem, I didn't tell you this, but it almost brought tears to my eyes because I would see the old heads sitting there playing chess with these young guys. And like you said, they didn't even want to leave. The mamas would come in to come and get them, and they would make the mamas wait for them to finish their chess game. So you're having an impact, Kareem, and I can't thank you enough for being one of those brothers in the community because you did this out of love for your community. You didn't do it for money initially. You really didn't. I think I had to give you a heads up to let you know, okay, Kareem, there's money out there to help you do this, right? But you did it because you love your people, you love your community, and you love the next generation. And I've never told you thank you, but I'm going to say it right now on air. Thank you, Kareem. Thank you.
Aww.
So how do we get of you? How do we get in touch with you? How do people reach you?
We have a website. Next Man Up, NextManUpLLC.
.net.
.net, yes. and then on Instagram, where Next Man Up, LLC, _15. _15.
Right.
And then Facebook, we are Next Man Up, LLC. So you'll see the work that we've been doing. I have to update my website, but it's all there. Most of the stuff is there. But we've been doing so many things. Now we incorporated a workforce, and we got training classes, and it's just growing because we are vested in our community. I can't do this alone, so we partner with other community partners, and we make it work, you know.
Yeah.
We just make it work.
And I'm going to give you a number, too. Do you have it? I think it's 800-445-6014. And then you can email Kareem as well, kareem@nextmanupllc.net. Kareem, thank you so much for coming on tonight, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had to share with my family. I had to share with my listeners all that you were doing. But I kind of kept it in the bag for a minute, and I needed to let everybody know what you're doing because you are changing New Jersey. You are. I don't know if you know the impact you're having, but I see it. Thank you. Anything else you want to say
much.
Or something? Want to tell family tonight?
I'm just going to say as a family, like, we have to do better. A lot of us, some of us are doing better. When I say doing better, I mean as far as with each other. We got to stop looking at each other as we are the enemy. You know, we have to just say hi. You know, if we don't want to, you know, voice our you know, we don't want to, you know, speak or voice our opinions, just look out for one another. Because we're too far behind for us to be at each other as well. And that's the fight that I feel that we have, because we could move a lot of mountains if we work together, you know, and not work in our own silos.
No doubt. Thank you so much, Kareem. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to give a shout-out to my girl, your wife, Q, because that's the brick. that brick that holds it up. And her organization is Stormy Days. I have to give her a shout-out because my girl Q is – she's been right there alongside with you. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
She's been right there with you, making this thing happen. Have a good night, Kareem, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Peace. Family, as you can see, I am partnering with some folks that are doing some things, right? We're changing the narrative. We're changing the direction. We're changing the focus. There's no longer a word can't. Right? It's what are we going to do and how are we going to do it? And we are a part, Kareem and I both are part of Franklin Grace Resource Center, which is a cooperative of businesses that are making economic, workforce development, business, and educational changes within. We're starting with New Jersey. We ain't going to stop there, guys. But we're doing it, and we're doing it out of the love for our community. As always, family, it's been great. I got to give you guys my contact. You can always, anything that you heard tonight, if you want more information about it, you can always email me, Khadija, Khadijah Kason, Cason, @gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, K Stewart Consulting. You can reach out to Deja Communication. Deja's Diverse Training Services is always available, and that's Deja'sTraining.org. Right? So, family, there's no excuse. Or call 410-800-4665. for any of these programs, if you are in New Jersey and you think that your child needs some help, please just give us a call. I'll direct you. I'll get you to Kareem, and we will get you to where you need to be. Don't think of it as I don't have money. That's not the issue. Money is not your issue. Solving the problem is. You do have to reach out, though. We can't come to you if we don't know you're out there. If your child is struggling a little bit in school and you just can't get through to them, they can't focus, they won't go to school, they're not doing their homework, there may be an IEP that's needed. So we're doing IEP advocacy. If your child has an IEP and you think they're not getting the education or the services that they need, reach out. Reach out to me, please. I've been a special ed IEP advocate for a while. As you guys know, my oldest son has Down syndrome, so I had to be his advocate. I had to fight his fight for him back when he was 3 or 4 years old. He's now 21. But this is what we do, right? We serve our community. That's the only way we're going to build those generational, get rid of those generational gaps and build generational legacies so that we don't have to be scared to go outside on the step. We don't have to be scared to go to the mall or go downtown. Mrs. Jones can feel like that the boys in her neighborhood are there to help her, not hurt her. These are the changes that we're trying to make, family. Before I go, family, I got to give the shout-out corner. So I told you guys I traveled, so I want to give a shout-out to Golden Era Creations in New Orleans. Fruit Orleans, oh, my gosh, the best smoothies. They have all-natural smoothies and fruit bowls down in New Orleans. Queen Shireen Enterprises, this is a sister that built this up from her mother and her grandmother. She has all kinds of good, healthy stuff to get your mind and your body right. I visited a museum, Mr. Al Jackson, the Treme Petit Jazz Museum. Family, I got me a history lesson. I found out how Brazil and France connected with Africa right in New Orleans. So please, if you're down in New Orleans, check them out. Then in Biloxi, Mississippi, Tariq, Rajal Soup's Fit Shop. When I tell you there's some soups that are sharp, they are some suits that are sharp. Make a man feel different when he puts them on. And then he also has Entrepreneurs and Development Workshop. They're building businesses right in Biloxi, Mississippi. So you know the South gets a bad rap. Nobody's doing anything down there. This is not true, family. They are. Then there's a national organization, Like-Minded People for Social Justice, Recognizing One Humanity. Guys, I'm going to keep bringing this stuff to you every month. The more people I connect with, the more I'm going to connect you with. Because I don't want you to feel like you're an island alone. We're not. We are a big community, and we can work together. But that's the key. We have to love each other, and we have to not be afraid to step outside of those comfort zones. As Lucretia was saying, we got to change some of our habits. We got to change our mindset. We have to be able to say we're going to do this. Our youth need us. And if we aren't doing it, the youth aren't going to do it. And to all of the youth, if you're listening in, understand we are going to be the soldiers for you. We're going to walk right alongside you and help you grow. We're going to bring the opportunities to you. You want to make some money, we can help you do it legally. You want to start a business, we can help you do it legally. You want that extra education, but you don't feel you're good in school, don't let anybody tell you you can't, because you can. You can. I work with children that have autism, ADHD, Down syndrome, all of these disabilities that people say kids can't do things. Well, I make it happen. We started our homeschool group this year, and I have had an awesome week getting started, and I am so excited to get back to them. The kids didn't even want to log off. We're doing a hybrid program this year, and I'm connecting the kids in this program through the state lines. I have some treats coming up for them that they don't even know about. Their families don't have a clue to things I'm going to be bringing to them this year. But we're back in the pool, so I want to give a shout-out to Baltimore City Aquatics and the Parks and Recs, because we will be swimming in Baltimore City this year again. I want to give some names, Nikki Cobb, Tiffany. I have to give out, and Sherwin, these are just some of my aquatics folks that have been working with me for years, and Coach K. Russell, Russell K. Williams, yes, Coach. I have to give a shout-out to you and Coach Ben. So, guys, family, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Take some of this information that we've given you, digest it, harvest it, and get it ready for next month. Have a great month, family, and I will talk to you next month. Peace and blessings, family. And don't forget, always teach it, develop it just as it happens. Peace, family. Good night.